Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve, and God is in the miracle working business. Praise the Lord. This is Sister Judith, and I'm so glad you joined me. With the Lord's help, we're going to continue on in a message I began last week, which I've entitled The Greater Works. And this is an account in the second chapter of John, the first 11 verses, of the marriage feast at Cana, and Jesus performed what John terms the beginning of miracles. He turned the water into wine. And we've been looking at some important understandings, not only just the fact that it was a miracle, but what are the lessons that can be learned. And as I shared previously, John had a way of sharing those miracles that were, as they were signs, they were with significance, they were full of meaning. And so as he shared these miracles, he wanted to express and declare stages of fuller teaching or revelation. And all of this would have the effect of leading the disciples as well as us into a higher level of faith. So what do we see? We see that God had a purpose in allowing what appeared to be, at first, a denial of Mary's request. Mary asked Jesus, or mentioned that they were out of wine, and Jesus apparently responds like, "What concern is that of ours?" And then it goes right on to say, Mary spoke to the servants, saying, "Whatever he says, do it." And so what's going on here? Why did Jesus change his mind? Well, I shared a couple things on yesterday's broadcast, and just by way of recap, we see faith moving the hand of God, the divine persuasion of Mary's faith. She, being sensitive, was wanting the understanding that this was an awkward situation, and she wanted Jesus to do something. And she realized her parental authority as mother could not prevail, but she began to have an understanding of his divine mission. And so she must have turned her heart to God. And then we see that second example, that Jesus set a pattern for all of us of seeking the Father's will. And I mentioned how very important that is, that this miracle really was different from all others mentioned in the New Testament, because it wasn't done to relieve distress. In all the things that Jesus did, he comforted, remember that funeral bier that was going by, this young man who was dead, it was the only son of the mother, he raised him to life. God, Jesus had compassion. He was moved with compassion when he saw the multitudes, that they were as sheep without a shepherd. He came to seek and save the lost. He came to destroy the works of the devil. The word clearly says that that's the reason he was manifested. He came, as he told Pilate, to bear witness to the truth. So he had to seek God's will on this, because his mother was asking something. And so he sought the Lord, and he obviously was responding in obedience. He never did anything that was outside the Father's will. And I was sharing how important it is for us to do that. Even though it was a good thing to do, Jesus was able, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to perform the miraculous by the power of the Holy Spirit. And nonetheless, he had a reason for doing that, and that was to reveal the Father's heart. We have to understand that just something that is good in itself, an act that is good, doesn't mean really it's in God's will. And being selfless and self-sacrificing doesn't always make it God's best. There's a difference between being a servant and being a doormat. And so that's why we have to have a dignity. We have to have self-respect. We cannot allow people to use us, including loved ones. But we must be willing to obey the Father just as Jesus did, as he did in this situation. So now what do we see? A revelation of the Father's heart, that our Father is a giver. He gave Jesus. He gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever would believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life. And he gives because that's his very nature. Every good and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is neither variableness, neither shadow of turning. He loves to delight his people. This first miracle was a gracious indication of the joy he provides by the Spirit. The word says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Jesus' ministry was not a ministry of asceticism. Do you remember the ministry of John the Baptist? He was in the wilderness. He ate nothing but honey and wild locusts. He spoke and called the people of Israel to repentance. He also fasted a lot. So did his disciples. And in fact, some came and asked Jesus, or disciples did, why do John's disciples fast a lot and we don't? Why is there such a distinction? And he spoke to the person that asked this question. He said, the bride can't fast while the bridegroom is with him, but the day will come when the bridegroom is taken, and then they will fast. So that is something that we, as God's people, just as he mentioned on the Sermon on the Mount, the hallmarks of Christian living, prayer, almsgiving, and fasting. That has never left the church. Oh, I know we don't hear a lot of messages about it, but nonetheless, I remember years ago, we were on A Street in Hayward. I was at that point conducting the midweek service, and I was actually ministering on the subject of fasting, and this brother, he said, "I can't fast. I'm a diabetic." Well, beloved, fasting is between you and the Lord. To whatever extent you are able to do that, that's what he's going to honor. It's the spirit of fasting. You can fast sweets, you can fast coffee, you can fast soda, whatever the things are that you enjoy. People even fast television. I remember there was one period of time I actually fasted talking, believe it or not. I really did. I think it went maybe, I don't know if it was a day or 3 days, but I was writing notes. I really kept that, and I had a reason for doing it. I don't remember it now, but there was a reason. I guess not just to show. You know, when I was young, I was very shy. I would never speak. I'd never open my mouth. And I guess I'm making up for lost time. God knew. He caused that shyness, that inhibition to be swallowed up in obedience to him. And I lost that when I was on a lengthy fast back in the 70s. And, well, I haven't stopped talking ever since. Praise God. Hallelujah. So what do we see? We see that there's joy. God is wanting to pour out his goodness to us. Joel 2:24 speaks of the latter rain and an abundance of the Spirit, and the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vats overflow with wine and oil. Zechariah 9:17 says, "For how great is his goodness, and how great is his beauty. Corn shall make the young men cheerful, and new wine the maids." In Zechariah 10:7, the word says, "And they of Ephraim shall be like a mighty man, and their heart shall rejoice as through wine. Yea, their children shall see it and be glad. Their heart shall rejoice in the Lord." And beloved, not only is joy in abundance the representation of new wine, but beloved, there is a fullness of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Do you recall in Isaiah that marvelous prophet who spoke in the 11th chapter and said, "There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the sevenfold Spirit of the Lord," I'm not quoting now, but the sevenfold Spirit of the Lord will be upon Jesus, because he's talking about Jesus. Verse 2 says, "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, of spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity the meek of the earth." Praise God. And then we see in the in the account of Isaiah in the 61st chapter, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek." He was speaking prophetically of Jesus. And he goes on to say in verse 2, he speaks of the day of the vengeance of our God, and he goes on to comfort all that mourn, to appoint on them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning. That's what he's doing for us. But you know, when he stood up in Luke and he shared what his mission was and he closed the book, he stopped short of the day of the vengeance of our God. But one day, beloved, that vengeance is going to be released. God is going to judge the wicked. You might say, well, he's putting up with so much wickedness and evil on the earth. Why? Because this is yet a day of grace. He wants all to be saved, all those who will hearken to the voice of the Lord to come and be spared the wrath that is to come. We need to get into the ark, beloved. And if you're not saved, I appeal to you to open your heart to Jesus so that you will not be judged for sin with the rest of the wicked. Just a simple prayer by inviting Jesus into your heart. If you're backslid, beloved, it's a time now to get right with God. Father, I pray for those who are not in right standing with you, those who are unsaved. Father, I pray that you will cause their heart to be turned to you. They shall receive Jesus. The backslid shall be restored even as the prodigal son. And God, you will minister to them in the power of your anointing. Beloved, God has a fullness of anointing for his people. This is a revelation of the Father's heart, not only joy, the wine, the fullness of joy, but the fullness of anointing is to be our portion that we may do those greater works. Praise God. Well, my time has just flown by. We will continue this on tomorrow's broadcast. There's such a joy in sharing the deep things of God's word, because it's not just the miracle, it's the significance of what Jesus did in this most unique of all of his miracles. Praise God. We'll be looking more in greater depth on further broadcasts. I invite you to join me, but for now, I must bring this broadcast to a close. I invite you to write, share those prayer requests. I always love to hear from new listeners. If the Holy Spirit's moving on you, he's got a reason for doing it. The importance of obedience, you should obey him. Praise God. I love you. Thank you for joining me, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh.